Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Governor Jim Gilmore is our guest and our good friend. Governor Gilmore is the former governor of the great state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia. He's a former chairman of the National Republican Committee, the Republican National Committee, I should say. He is the chairman of the now out of business Gilmore Commission. That's I think has now closed up and given their final report and moved on. That was a congressional advisory panel on terrorism and weapons of mass destruction. And he's our good friend, Governor Gilmore. Welcome back to the show.
Good. Thank you very much, Jim. It's good to talk to your listeners again.
It's good to have you back.
I got some news. I got some information for them this morning. I'm excited about talking to everybody.
We're excited about having you back. And also, I forgot to mention that you're also the president of USA Secure.
I am. Now, USA Secure is an organization operated at my law firm for commercial activity. It's really designed for people who want to do business in Homeland Security and to find opportunities to do that. So we have some rather large corporations that are a part of that and small businesses as well.
Right.
And we're interested in having people be a part of that. I'm going to talk to you this morning, though, about total public service, not commercial activity, but total public service.
Well, we're anxious to hear about it, so you're on.
Okay. Jim, look, as I've said many times on this show, I was very proud to work on behalf of the Congress of the United States on Homeland Security areas. I was appointed in 1999 to chair the National Commission on Homeland Security for the Congress. We did 3 years of work actually before the 9/11 attack. Those reports your listeners can find on the RAND Corporation webpage, RAND.org, RAND.org. And that has given me a real sense that much more needs to be done to protect the country. So I have launched the National Council on Readiness and Preparedness.
Say that
this
again.
Is a National Council on Readiness and Preparedness. Now, the webpage for that is its initials, NCORP, N-C-O-R-P, National Council on Readiness and Preparedness, mm-hmm. NCORP.org. People ought to look into that, www.ncorp.org, and we would like to hear from people about this. This is a volunteer organization that we have formed. The philosophy behind it is that you simply cannot protect the country strictly out of Washington activity and federal activity. You have mm-hmm. to have locals, states, and private businesses, and small businesses involved in Homeland Security. So we're creating a vehicle to help do that, and we'll be good partners to the federal government, but the time has come to launch a major local and state initiative, and that's what NCORP is going to do.
All right. Now, what kind of a beast is this? Is it a fish or a fowl? What is it? Is it a nonprofit? What is it?
Actually, it's a 501c3 charity.
Okay.
The IRS has given us a 501c3 status.
Congratulations.
Anybody that donates to it, it's deductible. Anybody that becomes a part of it, it's deductible. But, you know, it's not so much the money as it is the program. We're anxious to have small businesses engaged in Homeland Security. We don't know if there's going to be another strike in this country. It probably will be. When it happens, you cannot predict what form it will take or where it will be. The only way to really secure the country is to protect it at the local and state level. And that's why we need small businesses like your listeners involved.
Absolutely. And you know, I talk to medical and law enforcement folks around the country about what they're doing, and they're all doing something about this. They're all getting some, you know, prepared to the degree that they can, to the degree that they have a budget, but they can't do it by themselves. They need the grassroots support, don't they?
Well, they do. We need to get everybody involved with this. And, you know, again, large businesses, small businesses, people at the local level. And the point of NCORP is not to come in and inject anything over top of anybody. It's to coordinate and to share best practices and to work together mm-hmm. to create a template of response in the first 72 hours. We have a program called Ready America, the first 72 hours. And I can talk about that a little bit with
you. Are you working with Chambers of Commerce on this?
I'd like to encourage
you to use the Chamber of Commerce network, because it's a great network, and Chambers of Commerce already have Governor Gilmore, Chambers of Commerce already have the community leaders in their roles.
Yes, and they probably also have subcommittees on Homeland Security too.
They very well may, and so I would think that the Chamber of Commerce and all the Chambers of Commerce across the country would be a great clearinghouse, a great partner for NCORP.
Well, I'm going to ask people in the Chambers of Commerce across the country that are listening to your show to call me, or at least to check out our webpage,
right,
and then call me. And you know, phone number in Washington is 202-955-9660 and 202-955-9660, and we'd like to hear from people to become a part of this national operation.
Governor Gilmore, stand by. We're visiting with Governor Jim Gilmore, former governor of Virginia and now the chairman of the National Council on Readiness and Preparedness, NCORP. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And then yo-yos, that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. Money.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you can. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes by email on Sunday in the afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. Our blog will send to you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, or you can just come and get it at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And once you get there, you'll see lots of other stuff that will benefit you. And the good news is there's a lot more to come. We're working on some things that I think you're going to get excited about, and we'll be introducing that during the year 2006. Governor Jim Gilmore is in our website. He's all of his previous interviews that we've had with him that I encourage you to go back and check out, because he always has some smart things to say to us. He is the chairman of the new organization, NCORP, which stands for National Council on Readiness and Preparedness. That's NCORP.org, right, Governor?
Exactly, NCORP.org. And, Jim, I'm going to talk to you for a second about the Ready America program, the first 72 hours when you're ready to discuss program.
All right, go ahead. Let's do it now.
Well, let's talk about it. We believe that NCORP should offer a template of response and should work with people across the country to, in fact, create that template of response. As I said, we don't want to tell anybody what to do, but we do want to offer some suggestions. People across the country might say, well, you know, if you're not going to have any ideas, who needs NCORP? Well, we want to have a coordinating role, but we also want to have a substantive role. We're proposing that there be a program across this country out of the grassroots of America, which is exactly your listeners, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We propose that there be several programs. One is a responder corp, which would be a standing reserve under the state's defense forces of really well-trained responder volunteers deployable by the governors, people who would be in a position to go out there and really assist people in time of catastrophe. We're focused on terrorist attack, but it could be good for a Katrina type of attack as
mm-hmm.
well, or that kind of incident. We believe there ought to be regional surge depots with both contracts and also stockpile materials on a regional basis, so that when a catastrophe occurs or an attack occurs, that various state and localities can draw out of those depots. We think there ought to be crisis response offices. This is where your listeners come into play. We believe that every corporation and every company ought to have at least one person who is a crisis response officer, who knows their local responders, knows police, fire, and rescue people, knows where they fit into the plan, knows what they have to do in time of catastrophe, so we're not making it up as we go along.
And you know, and you, Governor, let me stop you for a second there, because there's a self-serving reason. In addition to the altruism that you're talking about, there's a self-serving reason for somebody to designate somebody like that, because that person should also be trained in public relations to be able to give that company's message, because, you know, it might not be a terrorist attack. It might be a hurricane or a tornado or an earthquake or a fire or something like that. And the media is going to be contacting different companies and saying, what's going on? And there needs to be a spokesperson.
You bet. There needs to be good PR. There needs to be people who can understand how to, in fact, do public communication. There needs to be somebody who can do business continuity. It's in their own self-interest to make sure right. that they have business continuity in times of crisis. And then finally, the Katrina catastrophe shows us people want to get out there and help their community,
That's
but they
right.
don't know how. So we need to put together an organization that will coordinate in advance of the problem, and that's what we plan to do.
Governor, there not every community, but many communities of any size at least, have emergency response organizations. They
yes.
have their local, essentially what are the local FEMA folks. They're not FEMA,
yes.
but they do the same thing on a local basis. They're paid by the local municipalities and counties and that sort of thing, maybe with some
you
state
bet.
Funds. Now, how
yes,
will you coordinate with those people?
Well, we intend to, in fact, put together a list of people across the country in their communities and in their organizations and their own private businesses, and then go to work to link them up with the responders, who we would call the Guardian Corps, which is a group of people we're going to organize out of the local communities who are official firefighters and police to help train the people in Responder Corps and get them organized into a program. And then finally, we also think there needs to be an essential public network of communication as well, so that in time of catastrophe, people can go to one central place and communicate well. So this is all about communications, public communications, coordination, understanding the plan, understanding the role, proper training, and proper organization.
Now, you call this a charity. It's a 501c3 eleemosynary type of corporation.
Yes,
so, so my question is, where's the money come from?
Oh, it's going to have to come from donations. So far, we've been running this thing on a shoestring, but we've been doing it out of the donations of individuals of wealth who want to make a contribution to their community and to their nation. People who are giving up money because they want to see Homeland Security furthered. You know, it doesn't have to always be government. We can be good partners of government. But frankly, the American spirit is all about private initiative and doing things out of the community.
I think you ought to call George Soros. He's got lots of money. Wouldn't he be? He'd probably contribute some money to this, wouldn't it? Wouldn't he?
Sure. It'd be actually a very constructive use of his money.
Finally, some constructive. I hope you didn't note my sarcasm there, Governor Gilmore. How are you going? I know you're getting the message out by media outlets like me and other
yeah.
things. But how else will we be likely to see this message getting out there?
Through community mailing, for one thing. We intend to do a considerable amount of mailing, and we would like to hear from people that want to be on this mailing list.
See, this is I'm going to come back to this, Governor.
Mm-hmm.
This is
yep.
where the Chambers of Commerce can help you. Because, see, the Chamber of Commerce, and I'm going to put my Chamber of Commerce hat on here. I've been a board member before and been a member of my chamber for almost 30 years. The Chambers of Commerce, they already know where these people live. They already have their addresses, and they have a vested interest in making sure that their communities are prepared for these things. This is a great initiative for any Chamber of Commerce to think about, and so I'm going to encourage you to stay in touch with those chambers, and just so you know that I'm not just bringing you a problem without a solution, I'm willing to help you with that. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Governor Jim Gilmore is right with us, and he and I will be right back. Stay with us.
And people are just too much for me to face.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Governor Jim Gilmore, former governor of the great state of Virginia and former chairman of the Republican National Committee and the current chairman of National Council on Readiness and Preparedness. This is a grassroots volunteer organization that the governor is putting together to get all of Americans a vested interest, an opportunity to have a vested interest in Homeland Security. Governor, did I say that about right?
You sure did, and we're going to really help the country and be a good partner to the state and local governments and the federal government.
Well, this organization, my organization, you can count on us to be a partner, and in terms, as you always know, my microphone is your microphone, especially
Thank
for
you.
Something like this, and we'll be glad to do that. And I've got some ideas on some things that I think we may be able to help you with to get this message out even more. I'd like to, and by the way, folks, I want you to go to that website and check it out, NCORP. ncorp.org. That's his web, the new website that I encourage you to check out. And if you feel like you can contribute something to the financially, I know he'd appreciate it. And anything Governor Gilmore does is top shelf. Governor, let's talk about the current Homeland Security issues, the big issues. Are we more secure today than we were 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Well, of course we are, because we've put focus on it since the 9/11 attack. My commission did three reports before the 9/11 attack, but nobody was thinking about it. And you have to capture the public imagination. And sadly enough, when the terrorists attacked on 9/11 and the Pentagon and in New York, then they captured the public imagination and government attention. And so now we are safer, but we have much more to do, Jim. We still are not totally safe, and maybe never will be. We can do better than we are, but we are better off.
In a free and open society, we'll never really be safe, will we?
Well, we know, because if people are going to be free to say what they want, do what they want, to walk around where they want to go, mm-hmm. there's always going to be vulnerabilities. But you can get this country as ready as we can be and give people peace of mind that we are, so we can move on to the other great tasks of the nation.
What the wiretap issue that's in the news right now, everybody's so concerned about. You know, when I think about that, I have three thoughts on that. One is, I'm glad that the government, the president, and his organization is zealous in tracking these people down and finding out what they're doing. On the other hand, you know, it concerns me about the wiretaps, and I do know that the FISA court allows them to get approval retroactively after the fact. So I wonder why the president didn't do that. On the other hand, then my third thought is, apparently they did brief members of both sides, of both houses of Congress, who knew these things. So it wasn't like they did it completely in the dark. So why are some of those folks complaining now? And I'd like your thoughts on that.
Well, let me give you several elements. As you know, I'm a conservative. As your listeners know, I'm a conservative. So I come at it from that direction. My view is this. We have to do what we have to do to protect the country. If there are people here that want to conduct guerrilla operations, we have to do what we have to do to find out about them and to be sure that we can counter that kind of activity. I believe you can do that consistent with the rule of law. And I think there has to be a rule of law.
Has that been done so far?
I think that it can be done better. I think that we have to have checks and balances, and there's no reason why you can't, you can't have this both ways. You can both protect the country, intercept improper information, and you can do it legally within the checks and balances of the law. I think the president is trying to do the right thing. It's clear that he feels like that he's trying to conduct his duty. I believe that you can do that consistent with the FISA court regulations. I believe you can do that consistent with the law, and that we can have our checks and balances, maintain our civil freedoms, and protect the country at the same time. And that, I think, is a great challenge of statesmanship.
Is the underbelly of the ugly underbelly of politics creating scenarios that are making us less safe?
It can. I think that if the debate is strictly political, I think that we shouldn't put up with that. But I think it's legitimate to discuss exactly how we're going to be doing this and whether or not things are being done properly within the law. I think that's a legitimate thing to address here. I don't question, again, the good faith of the president and his folks. I do believe that we ought to be working very hard to make sure that there are proper checks and balances, because you never know what the next president is going to look like, or even
right.
the third one from
exactly.
now. So you got to be careful.
That's exactly right. I got 30 seconds. Last thoughts. I'm convinced that the Patriot Act should be renewed 100%. What do you think?
Well, I think the Patriot Act ought to be renewed. There's certainly nothing wrong with taking a close look at it and making sure that we protect our civil liberties. But I think that the Patriot Act has been of great service to the nation. So let's take a look at some of the little fine points and then renew the Patriot Act.
Well said. Governor Gilmore, thank you for being here. Congratulations on the progress with NCORP, and we're looking forward to hearing more about it.
And I look forward to hearing from your listeners. And
thank you,
Jim.
Governor Jim Gilmore, ladies and gentlemen, that's NCORP.org. Check it out when you get a chance. Governor Gilmore will be back. He'll keep us posted on how that's going. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.